Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for hanging in there and not turning that dial, staying tuned to Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have dialogue and discussion together. If you've got questions about love, you've got questions about what is taking place in our society in relationship to a lack of love, or perhaps how you have been treated and some of the things that you'd like to share with our listeners today that would be an encouragement to them to love one another. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in our college and university, teaches Bible, theological studies, and biblical text. And Dr. Phelps was just before the break talking about love and how is it possible to love others and what does God tell us not to love. Continue that thought, Dr. Phelps.
This discussion is so important because we believe that what we love and what we hate are an infallible index of what we are. Mm-hmm. God gives some warnings in 1 John chapter 2 and starting at verse number 12. The Lord tells us that we should not love the things of the world. Many people have what we could call misplaced love. And one of those things is worldly religion. Jesus talked about that quite often. Religion is something many people think is so important in their lives, but they don't consider important that they have a Redeemer. It's a love of self-righteousness, being Pharisaical, being pretentious in their life. We should not love treasure, worldly treasure, and that's the love of money. The love of money can be called the root of all evil. Worldly praise. Some people love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Some people love worldly pleasure and not the love of God. Many people are caught up in worldly teaching, the love of false teaching. Many things are being taught today that are not true. People are falling for the lie. Worldly egotism, the love of self. And the kind of thinking is you deserve something. Then there's a worldly evil system that God talks about here in 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, the Bible tells us. The things of the world include the lust of the flesh. That's the carnal things. The carnal things of the world are the sensual, fleshly, and the lustful. That was one of the great things that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8. The devil is the god of hedonism. That is a love of pleasure. Then there's the lust of the eyes, the Bible talks about. That's the things we covet. Covetousness is the idolatry of materialism, greed. The devil is the god of materialism. We're told in the scriptures not to love our possessions more than the things of God. And then thirdly, there's the pride of life, the things that capture us or bring us into addiction. The devil uses pride in a way to capture or trap his victims. The devil is the god of pride and haughtiness, and the scriptures warn us about that. Such things are of the world and not of the Father. And so there are those who will follow after the things of the world more than the love of God.
Dr. Phelps, I'm reminded of the verse. I'm looking at it here in the scripture, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, that means to demonstrate, to show, commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's an indication there that God loves us. In fact, it goes back to that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then Dr. Phelps and I asked the question, if we look at what does the Bible describe, how does the Bible describe love? What does the Bible say in relationship to the subject of love? How does the Bible describe that? And I believe a good description for me would be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What does that say?
1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter on the subject of love. In fact, you find there the spectrum of love, and it has 9 ingredients in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Share that
when
with
you start
us.
Reading there, you'll find that Paul has talked about love as being the best way to exercise your gifts. It's the best gift there is. And so Paul began to say, charity suffereth long, and that's patience. It's showing patience and is kind. That's kindness. Love envies not. That means we may have generosity. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. We show humility. Love shows humility. Doth not behave itself unseemly. And that means we're courteous. We show deference, which means preference to the needs of others and the way of others, others' choices, not. And seeketh not her own. That's unselfishness. Is not easily provoked. That means we have a good temper. We're spirit controlled and not fleshly controlled. Thinketh no evil is guilelessness. And rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's sincerity. So those are some ways that we might describe what love is. It shows these things that are godly traits that are Christ-like and not after the world.
Dr. Phelps, I think of that as you're making that statement, and yet in the scripture, the Bible gives the word love over 400 times. I think it's like 430 times. And of course, there's several different words for love. I think it'd be appropriate for us to talk about. Basically, you've got phileo, agape, eros. What are the types of love, and what love type of love are we talking about today?
Yes, when we read in the Bible, in the New Testament, and we read of the love of God, that's the what we call agape love, and that's the word that's translated in our English Bibles as the love of God. That's the highest form of God, of
yeah.
love. It's of God. Love is of God. God is love, in fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. But love should be distinguished. There are 3 kinds of love that we could talk about. Agape love is the highest form. It's heavenly love. Phileo love is brotherly love. And we have a city in our country, Philadelphia, which means the city of brotherly love.
Yes.
But there is erotic love, amorous love, and that's the lustful kind of love that we have in our world. And we also can think about love is demonstrated, and the verse you read just a few moments ago, Romans 5:8, certainly demonstrates the love of God, because he sent his son to be our Savior. That's how God has shown his love. I read in 1 John chapter 4 something specifically about that very truth. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. And this was manifested. That word manifested means he has shown or demonstrated. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. And you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish in sin and under the wrath of God, but have everlasting life.
So, Dr. Phelps, as we think about that, about the love of God, and you've talked about the love of God is that heavenly love, it's supernatural love, and you just spoke of the love of God toward us that you just read the text on, that God's love is sacrificial, as you see in John 3:16. Give us some further understanding of God's love.
Yes. God's love is supernatural, means it's from heaven, and it's sacrificial, John 3:16. God sent his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. But there's the love of God in us, and this is a love that's noticeable. People will know if the love of God is in you. And I speak of it as being the love of God perfected in us. God wants to love through us. God dwells in us, and he wants his love to be noticed. Then there's the love of God to others, and that's how God's love is made possible. God gave us his Spirit, who enables us to love others. And then God's love in Christ is talked about in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Sorry about that. But we need to know that the love of Christ then is eternal. When you read John chapter 17, Jesus talked about the love that the Father had for him, and he always has had that love for him.
Yes.
And how that it's eternal. God loved him before the foundation of the world. And he says that love that God had for his Son, God extends to Christians. So God loves us with an everlasting love. And when it says, as he is, so are we. That means we're loved even as Jesus is loved. God loves us with that everlasting love. Then God's love must be returned to him. God desires that we love him back. We love him because he first loved us. See, God's love is mutual. We love him. And the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 is the place that you'll find that God speaks of his desire that we love him in return. He wants us to love him with all of our being. So the love of God is commanded. The love of God is commanded. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. You see, God's love is scriptural. God has told us to do something that he does. God wants us to be followers of God and to love our brother also.
So if we can put it in kind of a little succinct statement for the benefit of our listeners, Dr. Phelps, is it possible for you or for me or for anyone else to love someone unless we love God first?
No.
It's an impossibility. And so it's the love of God flowing through us that allows fallen, sinful human beings to love others. So, Dr. Phelps, I think a good question is, can a person love others if he does not first love God? What does God's word say in relationship to that question? Does God want us to love him and then, as a result of that, loving others?
I believe that we should love God with all of our heart, with our whole soul, all of our mind, And in doing so, we then will be able to love others. If we do not love God, then it's not possible for us to love others.
Yes. What do we understand when we're talking about God so loved the world? I like that John 3:16. For, it's the Greek word gar. He's talking with Nicodemus, and he tells Nicodemus why he's saying you must be born again. He says, for, gar, because God so loved the world. And if God so loved the world, tell us, Dr. Phelps, about that love, that God loves the world, and tell us something about what it includes and how we should understand that.
The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, about how God has so loved us. Ephesians 2 talks about the great love wherewith God loves us. The love of God is great, not only because it's supernatural, but because it's eternal. I just spoke to that about a few minutes ago. It says, for God so loved the world. God's love began before the world began. John 17, verse 24 through 26, where Jesus talked about that relationship that he had with the Father before the world began. And I read in John 17, verse 23, Jesus said, and that the Father has loved the disciples, that is, believers, as thou hast loved me, that which means as God loved the Son. And it's an eternal love.
Yes.
And the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is
like
in
that.
Christ
yeah.
Jesus, our Lord. But for God so loved the world, and that's what it embraces. Love embraces the world. God's love is for the world of all mankind. God loved us. He loved all of the world of mankind, everyone, that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's the evidence, his giving of his Son. God's love was manifested or shown at the cross of Calvary. Romans 5:8 says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes, Dr. Phelps, when you say that, makes me think that God so loved the world that he gave. So a giving heart for a Christian should be prima facie evidence of one's love for the Lord. And if I could just be a little trite but yet clear, if we love the Lord, we're going to be willing to give, as I've used the terms, the T's, the time, talent, treasure, and testimony
yes.
to the Lord. We're willing to surrender our lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If we love him, then we consider our lives to be in his hands, submitted to him, for him to live through us. Continue with your thought. That just came to mind as you were making that statement.
We're talking about John 3:16, that it's very evident that he loves the world, for he sent his Son to die for us at the cross of Calvary. But it also says that whosoever believeth in him, that means God's love includes everybody. God's love includes all and excludes none. According to Romans 11:32, God has concluded everybody under sin and unbelief, and I say without faith. God has considered everyone in unbelief so that he may have mercy upon all. And you'll find that means that God loves everybody, including you out there. God wants to see you come to faith in him. But he says, should not perish. That is, whoever believeth in Jesus should not perish. And I believe that means it's effective. God's love rescues us from the wrath to come.
Yes.
When God said that we should not perish, that means we'll not die in sin and go to hell. God has delivered us from the wrath to come through his Son. Through the work of Christ, he has delivered us from the wrath to come. We no longer expect wrath, but blessing and life everlasting. John 3:36 says, he that believes on the Son, excuse me, has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. God's emphasizing our trust and our believing in Christ, and that will make it effective. And then he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what makes it exciting. God's love promises hope for the future. Titus 1:2 says that we can live in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so it's exciting, but it also says, but have everlasting life. It is enough. God's love offers the gift of everlasting life. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 John 4:9 says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
Amen. The question begs to be asked, and perhaps our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today about the subject of love. What is love? Perhaps you have not thought of it in this fashion, but God loves you. And because of his love for you, he is offering eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's an invitation to say yes to Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Perhaps you're listening today and you've never personally, volitionally said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Why not right where you are at this very moment, simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. It's that prayer of faith that allows the Lord Jesus Christ to come and live in your heart. There's a song that, don't you worry, I'm not going to try to sing it, but that is one that is very rarely heard today because we have so much of the modern singing. Dr. Phelps, you find some of the old songs that have such faith-filling facts in them that we do not hear today. It's called The Love of God. Let me just read for our listeners today the words to that. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can e'er tell. It goes beyond the high star and reaches the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his Son to win. The erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill and with the skies a parchment made, were ever stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe to trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll above. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the love of God. We're talking about God's love. In fact, going back to Romans 5:5, then hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by, that's dia, through the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and he loved us with a sacrificial love, a complete love, an undeserving love, an unrelenting love, an unending love. And that's the way we need to love the Lord. So Dr. Phelps, in the closing few minutes that we have, what we should do in love? What are the things that would indicate love and what we should do in showing our love? How should we respond in that relationship?
We find that the Gospel of John, as well as the Epistle of John, has words that teach us how we should behave. The Bible tells us that our behavior should be manifesting the love of God. And John the Beloved knows and writes about that great love. There is no greater love. We should love the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, and also Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 in the Old Testament, both Old and New Testament, teach us when we love the Lord with all of our being, our faith is perfected. We should love the Lord, and that will keep us from idols, from idolatry. Love God's people. Bible teaches us to love other people. As we allow the Lord to love others through us, our fellowship is perfected. Love for one another is a mark of the true believer. We should love God's word. I find that the psalmist in Psalm 119 talks often about loving the word of God. He says in Psalm 119:97 that God's words should be love. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. If we love God's word, our heart will be perfect toward God. So we find that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Another thing is that we should love is love God's name. When we know God's name, when we love the name of the Lord, his peace is perfected in us. Isaiah 26:3-4 says that we can have the peace in our hearts. Psalm 148:13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Then we should love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul talked about loving the second coming of Christ. As we look for his second coming, God perfects his hope in us. You see, we as Christians have the blessed hope. And then we should love God's church. We find that one of the things that God tells us about that he really loves is the church. When you read Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When we love the house of God, he perfects joy in our hearts. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25.
Dr. Phelps, would you say then if a person says, I love the Lord, but is disinterested in church, not interested in worship, not willing to come and worship, not willing to come to serve the Lord and study the Word of God, would you say that God's love dwells in his heart?
I hardly believe that he knows anything about the joy of the Lord.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, the whole subject today has been on love, and it's my prayer that you love the Lord with all of your heart, that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and that God's love being in you is emulated to the point so that others see God in you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.